It's a chance to be nice to yourself in the middle of a busy workday, as well as an insane indulgence. Where to do lunch? Is it going to be a quick meeting, a personal cell job, the quick snack at the desk, or a chance to escape from the noisy streets, step inside, out of the rain? Maybe even choose a cuisine that transports you far from the office. In New York, that could be North Carolina, North Africa, Italy, or in this case, Spain. A lovely, well-lit spot in the West Village called Tertulia, the kitchen temple of Chef Seamus Mullen.
So here we are, lunch at Tertulia in the West Village. This is quite a treat, I have to say. I want to explore what it is we're having here. We've got some croquettes.
So what we do with croquettes here, the croquetas de jamón ibérico, we make a very light bechamel, which has got a little bit of a secretness to it. I can't tell you all about what we do, but the idea is to make a creamy centered croquette that kind of is gooey and melty on the inside, and it's got a lot of jamón ibérico in it, which is the best ham in the world.
Best ham in the world.
The cuisine of Spain is Seamus Mullen's acquired love by way of New England, farming in Vermont. So why Spain?
I first went there when I was 16 years old. I did a year abroad, and it opened me up to a world of flavors that now may not seem that exotic to a lot of people because we all kind of know chorizo and everybody's heard of paella. But going back 20 years, for a farm boy from Vermont, that was completely new territory, something I never had before, and I fell in love with it.
Did you throw a dart at a map? Was it between like Latvia and Spain, and we could have been doing Latvian restaurants here?
We could have been eating. I don't know, what do they eat in Latvia? Pickled herring. Probably. I don't know. So yeah, no, it was almost like that. I was a pretty crappy student. I wasn't good at many subjects in school, but the one thing I did excel at was Spanish. When I got into high school and I was really about to flunk out of school, I had a smart guidance counselor and Spanish teacher who realized that the only chance of survival for me was to focus on what I was good at, and they sent me to Spain.
So how did a chance to check out of the crazy world of high school and college by becoming Spanish become this deeper gift of Spain and its food and its bounty and its flavors?
Well, this relationship that I have with Spain that's gone on now for 20 years and I lived there for 5 years now, it really solidified and to a degree resonated a lot of the things that I believed in about food from my upbringing growing up on a small farm. These days there's a bit real trend towards seasonal cooking and localism and all of that stuff. In Spain, for years and years and years, it's just what you did. Nobody went to the supermarket to buy groceries. They went to the farmers. They went to the market. They went to the farmers market and they bought what was locally produced and they ate seasonally. And there was a real reverence to food. And the lunch meal, which is the most important meal in Spain, at 2 p.m, is a time when everybody just stops everything and gets together as a family and eats food. And that's something that I love and something we try to recreate here in the restaurant as well.
The idea of dropping everything for the noon meal is just so un-American. And even un-New York, where working power lunches overshadow food every day of the week. But when the first course arrives, conversation stops, and the Seamus Mullen food worship begins.
We have some cured meats. This is lomo, which is cured pork loin. If you look at it, you see all that incredible marbling.
Yep.
This is from the ibérico pig, which is a free-range animal. So these animals only eat what they can forage for, and most of what they forage for is acorns. And that has a huge impact on how it tastes and on the nutritional value. It's high in omega-3s, low in omega-6s, because the animals are very healthy and they're moving around. They're eating things like nuts.
When your pigs care about their ingredients, they become a better ingredient.
Exactly. They become a great better ingredient. And this is, when you smell it, well, you can go ahead and just eat it. It's amazing stuff. It's so tender.
We're actually torturing our producer, Jay Cowett. I'm going to just pass this down to
him.
Have
some, Jay.
Seamus Mullen is a happy zealot for all things Spain and food. He's just published a new cookbook, Hero Food, which tells the story, literally, of how certain foods saved him. Beyond taste and dazzle, a proper approach to food, he says, is a matter of life and death.
I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and at first I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know anything about RA. As many Americans, when I first heard about it, I thought I had osteoarthritis. I didn't realize that it was an autoimmune disease, that everything that I put into my body and how I treat my body would dramatically impact how the disease behaved. And shortly after being diagnosed and living, I mean, I was hospitalized and living with the pain of the disease, my mother and my grandmother encouraged me to really look at food and look at the impact that food had. And the more I read about it, the more I started to realize that a lot of the things that I love to eat and the things that are most important to me as a chef actually happen to be the things that are really, really good for my body. So I decided to focus on those. And in doing so, through a lot of trial and error, I discovered that there are certain things that, rather than excluding things from my diet, there are certain things that if I included more of them into my diet, I'd feel better, and it really would have an impact on how I felt.
And so what ingredients suddenly went from being things you like to eat from a taste perspective to things that are helping you physically and making you feel better from head to toe?
Well, I think that the most important of all of those is olive oil. I mean, without a doubt, I could not cook my food if I didn't have olive oil. And olive oil is something that I did a little experiment when I was first diagnosed and when I was first working on this book that I just wrote. I took olive oil out of my diet, and I felt like crap. It just dramatically had a huge impact on how I felt. So that's certainly one of the things. And then as I did more research, I learned that there's a lot of scientific evidence that backs up why and rationalizes why I felt that way. But other things that were kind of surprising, I've always gravitated towards anchovies because I'm, you know, I love the underdog. I love sticking up for the little guy.
And anchovies get a bad rap for no reason, because as you describe in your book, they're like little hospitals swimming around in the sea.
Well, the thing about anchovies is that for so long, anchovies have been associated with bad pizza, with bad quality, crappy anchovies that are canned in West Africa or North Africa and held in the bottom of a boat for a really long time. And then God knows how long they live on the shelves, and they really do start to break down. They have this fishiness that's not that appealing. But very good quality anchovies that are well processed, that are cared for properly and rotated. They're not, I mean, it's a preserved food, but they should not be around for, this is not like, you know, post apocalypse food. You should be consuming anchovies, you know, within a few months of when they're processed. Really good quality anchovies are remarkably delicious. And I call them this little fish with a big voice, because they do have a tremendous amount of flavor. They go a long way. And
they're full of the omegas and all that stuff.
Full of the omegas. They're anti-inflammatory. They've got great, you know, they have great minerals in them. They're just amazing fish. And, of course, they're low on the food chain, which makes them, generally speaking, a sound ecological choice as well.
They're not accumulating poisons.
And they're not accumulating, yeah, you're not finding mercury in them. They're pretty amazing little fish.
You know, what's surprising to me about your book is that you merge a sense of food zealotry about health and the quality of ingredients with a certain joy. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm not reading a rule book here.
Not at all.
And the pictures are fabulous. I mean, I want to go to every one of those places that's mm-hmm. in the book. How did you achieve that balance of joy and instruction?
One of the things that I really wanted to focus on, as I said earlier, was this idea of inclusion rather than exclusion. It wasn't, don't eat this, don't eat that, cut this out of your diet. I really, you know, one of the first lessons I learned was, okay, tomatoes can be inflammatory, but I happen to love tomatoes. So I realized, well, what if I make a choice about the tomatoes that I eat, and I only eat them, you know, we're in May right now. I haven't really eaten tomatoes since last summer. And I probably won't until they come into season again. What if I only eat them when they're in peak season? There's an element of joy and celebration that I get from those. And there's a lot of empirical research that supports quality of life and emotional well-being has an impact on your body's ability to deal with inflammation, to deal with disease, to deal with toxins. If you're better prepared, if you feel good, if you're really celebrating an ingredient, you're better prepared to deal with any kind of inflammation or any kind of problem that you might have. So it is about celebration. It is about celebrating those ingredients and really enjoying them.
Seamus, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. No, it's my pleasure.
If you want to experience the infectious, life-saving joy of food and cooking for yourself, Seamus Mullen's Hero Food has just been published. A preachy medical book, it is not. But it may just change the way you think about lunch.
And you can see photos of that lunch with John and Chef Seamus Mullen at thetakeaway.org. It's also at our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetakeaway. And if you happen to drool over maybe what you just heard or anything else, we want to hear about your favorite dishes. And what can a good meal do for you? What memories does a good meal bring to you? What destinations does it make you think of? Whether you're a foodie or just a nostalgist, we want to hear about your stories about food. You can give us your take on this story or of any of our segments. And we always welcome good recipes. Call us at 878-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.